Hare Krishna. We had a lovely evening last night at Bhaktivedanta Manor, which is our yearly Mooji Mela festival. And it was a, well, obviously Kirtan is always very wonderful, and we did put it up. If you're up to listening to almost 7 hours of Kirtan, then you can hear it on the Kirtan section. And we were, and we had Madhva Prabhu was there, and he was one of the two of us chanting, and I'm feeling the aches and pains of that right now. But when you're chanting Hare Krishna, then there are no aches and pains. Unfortunately, it's when the chanting stops. And that's why we say Kirtaniya Shadahari, better that the chanting not stop. But even now, even in the spiritual world, chanting stops. Kirtan goes on, and at a certain point, then everyone either goes on with other duties or goes home. Whether that takes place in Braj or Navadvip, both the spiritual abodes have a variety of services and engagements. So it was a nice event. Madhva finished chanting at midnight, and then some devotees, I say some devotees because what didn't include myself, partook of a feast. I went to see the feast. It was a feast. It was about 10 preparations. And those days are gone, midnight feasts, for me anyway. And even the midday feasts are teetering on the brink right now. And we have a question from Karuna Kishori. And anyway, this is the question. She says, is there something particularly potent in vows, because they seem to be more potent than making resolutions or a commitment? Now, I just had a quick look in the dictionary, and the synonyms for vows are resolution, include words like resolution and commitment, so I don't really see that there's any particular difference, and I've not read any technical description in Shastra about that would make any distinction between the two. But one could say that perhaps vows are something that we take publicly. Vows are something that we take officially. Vows of marriage, vows of initiation, vows of sannyas in the presence of other Vaishnavas, deities, fire, and therefore there's a larger, there's an onus on vows. Because then something that, well, I make a commitment to myself that I'm going to, or a vow, that I'm going to not drink on Ekadasi, and then I break that vow and I do drink for that commitment. really it's between me and Karasi Devi. It's not a obligatory thing, but rather more a voluntary thing. There are many things that devotees voluntarily undertake. For instance, it's recommended that brahmacharis not eat in the evening. But it's not a regulated principle. But someone may take a vow, all right, I'm not going to eat in the evening. And whether they stick to that or not is not something that one will certainly get sinful reaction for. These round tables are not designed for puja. But when you make a take a formal vow in the presence of others about things that are of a scripturally prescribed obligatory nature, and one breaks those vows, then there will be a more serious reaction, and simultaneously there's also greater power in doing those things that are prescribed scripturally than those that we do voluntarily. Because that was your question. How come there's more power in vows than there is in one's own resolutions or resolve? Because I said, I don't necessarily see much difference between the two. I will just say that both the obligation and the benefit depends on whether this is obligatory, like no illicit sex, no gambling, no meat eating. These are, well, they're not really even vows of initiation, they're Vaishnav conduct. And in one sense, whether you take a vow to follow it or not, you're obliged to do it if you're a devotee. That's another aspect of vows, is that currently we take vows that in days of yore was just called civilization, because we come from an uncivilized background. Therefore we have to change our conduct. And in changing our conduct, we make a promise to do so. But actually, that conduct is not necessarily something that of its own is a spiritual activity or a religious activity. Like none of these activities, no intoxication, no illicit sex life, no gambling, meeting, these are not spiritual vows. This is just being a human being. I vow not to be a dog. I vow to be a human being. The spiritual vow is, and most important vow is, I vow to chant 16 rounds a day. And that shouldn't require a vow either. But we take vows also to give more emphasis to spiritual practices. Well, here comes the word commitment, to make us more committed. Well, we take it more seriously. Ooh, I promised to do something, and as Prabhupada would sometimes either incredulously or with disappointment say, oh, how can you break your vow? You promised. Because gentlemen or gentlewomen don't break their vows. But even more gentlewomen don't need to take vows. because they already know what gentleman conduct is. In other words, I'm taking a vow to act like a gentleman means that I'm not one. If I live like a gentleman, then it's like a human being. If I have to take a vow to be a human, I promise not to bark. But human beings don't have to do that. It's a given. It's understood. So I don't think in Srimad Bhagavatam you have any record of anyone taking a vow or making any promise. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Tatejasi Tathakur. Arjuna says, all right, I'll do what you want. Not Tatejasi Tathakur. Nasta Mahasmati Brahma. Harishe Vachanam Tava. All right, I'll do what you say. And that's all. Arjuna's not even making a vow. Oh, I promise I'm going to do what you say. I'll just do it. And if I say I do something, that's already a vow. So in a world where people don't stick to what they say, then you have to make promises. Oh, I promise. The only reason we have to promise anything is because we have a habit of not sticking to our word. If we're honest people, then why do you have to promise anything? Then the word is as good as gold. This is a nice English saying, as good as gold. So someone's word is as good as gold. If they say something, they don't have to promise. I have experience of people promising and then not keeping the promise, and then even worse than that, trying to rationalize why it's okay not to keep your word. So we don't really recognize how entangled and entangling this material life is, material world is, that we're living in, and how degrading it actually has become, and how degraded we've become by it. It's only if we closely study Vaishnava behavior and Srimad Bhagavatam, then we get an idea of how far down we are and how far down this so-called human society is. Otherwise, we get the idea that everything is all right and we're just sort of practicing a religion like other religions, but not so. People have given up human conduct long, long ago, and so now we're trying to promise and trying to vow that we're going to stick to being human beings. Really, that's what these vows and promises are. But they're of value, because we're conditioned souls, so anything that helps us, why do they have, or at least they did have, and maybe in other societies as well, but in India, why have a 3-day marriage ceremony? Aside from the fact that maybe nowadays it's become more of a prestige thing to see how much money you can spend if you have it on a wedding. But because 3 days really emphasize this is an important thing. Here there's no separation. There wasn't marriage at a certain point. There wasn't weddings, sorry. Weddings came in at a certain point in history when men and women started to become unfaithful. I can't remember who the sage was. He introduced the process of formal marriage. Up until then, it was like men and women. There was a common agreement, and they stayed together for life. It's like friends. We don't have any friend ceremony in front of everyone. Okay, we're friends, and we're about to stay friends for life. So similarly, you don't really need marriage ceremony. But in a culture where at least 50% of people divorce, then hopefully it helps, although it doesn't seem to help very much. As Kali Yuga increases, then people find more and more reasons why they shouldn't stick to their vows. So, anyway, that doesn't necessarily fully answer this question, because I don't know if there's an answer to the difference between vows and resolutions. It seems like they're the same word. But certainly, whether it's one or the other, they play an important role in our lives to somehow or another, any old way, get us to commit to being human beings and to being honest Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis. Hare Krishna.